Sherman Stolnick, interviewing Dr. Edwin Vandenberg for the Center for History of Chemistry. Now, you do know that we would be depositing this tape into the archives of the Center for History of Chemistry in Europe. We have your approval for that.
Yes.
And so we will give you the transcript and the transcript of the tape to edit as you wish. I mean, and there may anything to add some things that you can, that should be added or deleted. Okay, let's start with your birth. When, and we'd like to know the exact date and the year.
September 13th, 1918,
Hawthorne, New Jersey.
Where in New Jersey?
Hawthorne. Oh, H-A-W-T-H-O-R-N.
E.
That's why it's so important to spell these names. And what was your father's occupation at that time?
My father was a
Well, as a distributor or as a store?
More
like a store?
Well, yeah,
a
store, but
mostly
delivery.
Store.
Most
of my life. What sort of town is Hawthorne? Is it a small town?
Yeah, it's about
10,000, 12,000. And was that, you lived there throughout the entire education?
Yes. This is a suburb of Patterson.
Oh. And what was your father's educational background?
Well, I graduated from high school. Perhaps federal. I think he may have spent more time in business school than in New York and like that.
And your mother? What's your education back then?
That I'm not sure. I can't go down for a little bit. Just because I think my people.
Yeah. In fact, if your father graduated high school, that was unusual for that kind of
Yeah.
high school.
Yeah.
Now, you the first child or what number?
Second.
Number two, how many children do you have? And you're the older one, elder sibling, the brother or sister?
Mm-hmm.
How much older?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're almost like playmates then, huh?
Yeah.
Or was it a competitive atmosphere between the two of you at most of the time? Is he bigger than you? Up to a point?
A little bit.
He must have been going to when you were growing up, when you were older.
Well, I don't know. I may have been 10 too. I don't know.
I
don't think it was. But he never was in the time, but that was where I was.
Was he more of a physical person?
Yeah, he was more of a.
Helped your father luckily? Yeah.
Well, he did. He actually did work for my father for a while after he fell out of school.
Well, not about racing school, not like junior high school and high school.
Well, I didn't know.
How about you? Did you have your father in junior high school and high school?
No, I didn't.
But you were better in the school than your older brother?
Yeah. Most of these things were in the high school.
Did he end up as a contractor?
Oh, did he end up as
a contractor? Was he a contractor then?
He was a contractor.
You never got involved? In the athletes and then?
Well, I was long after that. I did deal with my father down the service and then after service. Glad we got into the building and
Well, obviously you were a mechanic and fine too, though.
Not really. Not really.
Well, maybe later on they'll explain how you got your degree in engineering.
Well,
right?
I explained it out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get into your interest.
What were your interests? Saying how much is school, what kind of student were you in elementary school? And who were your playmates? Just stretching your memory too much?
Well, it was a pretty big stretch. I suppose, no matter what it was, a good student, grammar school, high school.
Were you always near the top of the class, you mean, by being good?
Yeah, I was pretty well in class. I played the violin.
When did you start the violin?
Violin lessons for some years. Don't remember exactly, I think it's 7 years, so I put them went to college, so I probably started at 9.
So you start with a normal size violin, not a small
size violin.
And did you practice like an hour a day, day after day, week after week?
That was supposed to be the routine, though.
But did you do it? Did you feel you were pretty good violinist? Did you play in the orchestra or any orchestra?
I played in the high school orchestra. I played in
what position? Were you the first violin, second violin, and what chair?
I don't think we had those kind of visions.
No, you had no. It was the first violin section, the second violin section.
Well,
it was
probably the first violin section. I played in high school.
What row was it in? Oh, you played in college?
I played in college, too.
That first violin section.
I think
you were pretty good then.
Well, how
far from the concertmeister were you? We're not the concertmeister.
No, it wasn't. I don't even have one.
Oh, yeah, and then the first chair played by then, so it's the concertmeister.
Well, yeah, I know that's the usual procedure. I'm not sure if it's true for the college of. But I did play the
college of. The college of, you've always had the concertmeister. So you're playing the Pet Food then?
Yeah.
Including Gilbert and Sullivan. What happened?
Well, I think they created their own shows about Pet Food.
Too much like the Hercules and Riley Clubs. What were you reading in elementary grade, junior high school, and high school? So by the time you were in sixth grade, were you reading Horatio Alger books? Tom Swift books or Rover Boys? So you did read that kind of thing?
I did too.
You can't remember that?
I can't remember now.
There's nice thing about the Tom Swift books, and there's a lot of science in that.
Yeah.
It's more or less science fiction, but it's still science. So that was not one of the influences in your life, it was early reading. They had an encyclopedia at home?
Yeah.
So your parents were literary oriented at least. Were they readers of books? Yeah, of course, the newspapers.
Yeah, that's
fine.
My father worked hard. He worked every day of the week, in the evening, too.
Early morning, late
morning. He was running a small business.
So whatever books you had in the house was essentially what you and your brother had brought in.
Well, we brought in a few.
And being in high school, did you take out books from the library or read them by time with them?
I'm depressing my memory.
Yes, that's the purpose of these things. Well, you can't think of
it. I suspect, you know, I took home whatever was needed to do my work at school.
Mm-hmm.
extra reading.
You picked that characteristic up later in life.
Yeah. But I don't think I really think I wait for
Rather than curiosity of things that happen throughout the world.
Well, I do read
in
the business world,
the theories,
and
that. But things like physics, chemistry, biology, you can read those as people's courses. What sort of friends did you have? From the elementary school, junior high school, and even into high school? Were you into sports at all?
Not in high school.
Just
football.
You play football?
Local. Sure.
Sandlot. You played in the line and you played back here. Were you heavy at the
right
there? You played the line. You don't want to speak footed people.
No, I definitely was not that. I was not ever athletic and inclined, ever was.
Well, in high school, what courses did you have in science? You had biology in 10th grade?
No, never had biology in 10th
grade. You had physics in 11th grade then? You had physics in high school, didn't you?
No, I didn't have physics. I took physics in. I had to get physics to the school that had been selected when you came to college. And I had to get physics, so I took it. I started from the city.
Oh.
And it's cooler than physics. And I fired on the phone.
Oh. Is this treated by the teacher? By the physics teacher or by a college student?
No, by science teacher. I did have a very good friend that had a very good friend from the old school of Southern Gordon Huffman.
H-U-F-F-M-A-N?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I suppose we were the ones that had me for the chemistry in Southern Gordon Huffman.
So your curiosity was around.
Yeah.
What would happen if you had A to B? What was your orientation and interest? Is it the doing of chemistry? Was it, I wonder what would happen if, or what's the meaning of? Is it happy, or is it philosophical, or get the meaning again?
Well, it's a very unique area of the science. I mean, it's not quite like it. And
and there's more than just a desire to add information to the storehouse of knowledge.
Yeah.
More related to curiosity.
Yeah.
And then you took chemistry down.
Took chemistry.
Was it a good teacher?
No.
And how about the other students? How about the other students in class? Are they reasonably good or are they reasonably poor?
How'd
you do in chemistry? Did you get your A?
I couldn't tell you. I'd go to
Because you had
general laboratory in the freshman year too. He didn't take, he took qualitative analysis second semester.
Well, I came to
come
to the first year, second year,
Because 1 year for his term or 2 years for his term?
1 year.
Kevin and Daniel, was your text? Norris is our text.
I couldn't tell you at this point in time. I probably still have my text, I guess. No, but I don't remember.
What sort of engineering did you have then? What sort of engineering did you have by the time you were sophomore, junior, or senior? Because you really graduated in mechanical engineering, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I would say senior year, you had the opportunity to get
Albert, did you develop any close friends in while we were studying chemistry at Stevens? Who was still chemist? Besides professors like Pond, who was going to the kind of the student body?
I'm not sure I could afford it.
No, you wouldn't who would have been paid to go to graduate school on a housing assistance with them.
Well, that's possible, yes. I think pretty much in terms of the work, and the fact that
Thank you.
I don't think so. I mean, pretty much all of them was a distance. I just worked on it. Actually, I think maybe that was the first thing I did, which was I worked for a week or two.
From Harvard?
The father's papa had the same name. I thought Full Hollow was the same guy, but it wasn't.
Campbell?
No.
It wasn't Bill Campbell.
He was working on that, the formation of Cleveland Saw and Signs and all the various comments and stuff. The time, it was probably some of the work that was doing that time.
You were working in stereo sizing.
Yeah, well, it was a little bit of a I had an anti-charge and reacted to the women, by a residue sulfur, which would have caused the strike. So it was going to rise up to the surface, containing an anti-charge. It was very powerful tool for doing studies. It was very good for them.
Now, by the time I got there, I thought you were working for Van White. 42 or 43.
Anybody under 26 had to be in a farther and farther gone out to them. And the whole Exodus.
Warner Brown had been president of the company.
A whole bunch of guys. Well, at the same time, I did the St. Paul Williams person.
I remember that Exodus.
And today, when we started to do that,
well, at Sunflower, he was assigned to the laboratory at the time.
How's it going?
I love it. You were in operation.
I was in operation.
This is for dynamite and for...
Harlem smoke.
Harlem smoke. Yeah.
And ship work. Category system ships with the world.
Did you do the night training with Saturdays?
No, they...
Is that before the country or section?
That was done on the Saturday morning.
What was your area?
Well, it was smoke powder, but they started out with... They started out with nice patterns that was made in another part of town. Mm-hmm. So they come over in the water wet form and get them through. The ground beehive, which is replacing water and alcohol in the crust.
Yeah.
And it holds a mixture of easily.
Did you use acetaminol with the wet method?
Acetaminol?
Yeah.
And it went to a mixture of easily the alcohol, wet acetaminol, the color, and the
after that year, that one was pressed.
That was still in your operation. The whole operation, making smoke powder.
Except the nitration.
Except the nitration.
I
get it. The nitration was powder. The blade, and everything before I blade it. We bagged it out. There were two sections in there. Well, I worked a double shift on
They left a hole in the ground and pop it over some of the buildings.
But
you still had to go there no more than two or four in a building at a time. And he was staying in St. Paul until what year?
4 times. Right after
the
war.
When you went to Sunflower, did you ran the apartment or house when you were in Delaware by that time? Or when you entered the Turkeys in 38, did you run the apartment or house? Not really. I worked in everything.
That was my
role.
When I first went to Turkeys, I had stayed in the wife with
Increasing the reaction rate of the farmers now, I guess.
The rise
And that was mostly the double bonds in the rosin molecule that caused the trouble?
Yeah, mostly. You know, we looked at things like different pure resin acids and
that was one of my jobs now, because we produced the pure rosin.
But anyway, it was about that time the KB reports came out from Germany,
That was my job, to get the information from the KB reports to people like you. I gave it to Eric, the heat distributor.
Well, this was on a microfilm. I think I went down...
In the German? You read the German?
No, it wasn't in German.
But we received it in German. I got it correctly from Germany.
Well, I remember going down, I thought Eric was walking and looking at the microfilm. And, noticing all the work being done in Germany on redox emulsions and everything.
But you read in English, not in German.
Because
after I start drawing information, then there's a fair microphone for you people to read.
Why would
you do that? Because you knew most of you didn't read German.
No, but why would they put it on microphone?
That I don't know. I gave them in type the copy. But he wrote those Erica reports, of course, were quite stoppy. He didn't put those in the microphone.
No, but that was later. Those things came out.
No, it was in 45.
It came out very, I suppose it was in 46. Not in 46.
We had 1,000 of those reels.
I think they were 30.
Were they 35 millimeter film that you read, or 16 millimeter?
I remember going down and looking at some of these things and moving to work on redox when I was working, but the fact that I don't know. And of course, at the time, Jimmy and I worked on it. I'd come on the scene from back in the land.
Yeah.
And that was one thing, I don't know, maybe Art had done a little work with Jimmy and I brought
that. Yeah, he
did. And the emulsion film was a legacy of that. And I think it had shown some interesting results, but we really tried more or less German type recipes. Iron phosphate, the sugar out of the blue filter, surplus album, the sugar with one, but they reduced in sugar. And got fantastic rain. And you know, we could summarize SDR in 15 minutes. And it took 15 hours. And that was my probably first. Very important tangible discovery. And
sometimes you can paper can make you feel that, isn't it? Is that right?
Well, yeah.
Maybe you can explain what resin 731 is for the tape.
Well, just
the glass itself. The disproportionation did what to the double bonds in rosin? You're talking about the 1-3 double bonds. They eliminated the 1-3 double bonds.
Well, conjugated,
In other words, you had a fencing ring in one of the finance rings, and also it was completely hydrogenated in another
And Cobalt came along and did the same thing originally. I look at the time on that.
For the paramethyl isopropyl fencing hydroperoxide bill, or was that come out of RAND?
Well, that was out of RAND,
all came out of RAND. You did not do any of the peroxidation.
Did you also study
the peroxide as well as the hydroperoxide? Is that still in your days for the
I got some patents in the air.
That's the first patent. That's the line.
Well, you know, the taste of Cleveland was in the literature, talking about it. There was no, you know, from the literature, it was in the journalism around the world. There was no, my contribution was that this Cleveland could go very fast already. And then he was into high yield. And I wasn't frightened, I wasn't even. Matter of fact, I was. Dr. Hulk wasn't even thinking when I was doing this, but.
He was your manager.
Yeah, he didn't think it was economic.
Uh-huh.
Never be economic.
He thought the Dow process was better, huh?
Probably went over to see Stan George one day. And Stan convinced him that, you know, he was on the team. Of course, I didn't do a lot on that because he was always a limit to him. And they took it all away pretty much. And I got a great deal of recognition for it. But I think the amount of work I did, the newsletter I wrote as a volume, did stimulate a lot of interest. And I did some work in the cross-country reaction. And of course, it was all that work I've been boarding around and did the blocks and all things, because, you know, we saw that the computers after catalogs, the reaction to what I had blocked by, and Harold and
well, that sounds really like a good time.
No,
I don't know that. From 40,000
times? Well, I was about 47.
Oh, it's from the 40s, I'm sorry. I think,
yeah. 48.
Yeah.
But, you want to continue on?
Oh, yes. Once you get into the real pharmacology pretty soon.
Well, we did it. Well, I think some emotional preservation, we did some co-pollins and rosamond and all things. Well, I'm talking about that. A few years later, we made some co-pollen with a rod and bottom of the very thin type of forecast and then cationic on it. These look pretty good in fibrosine. In fact, it's a chemical too from my own.
Very common, isn't it?
No, it's a little older than that.
No.
The development was, nothing ever happened with it. I could never even imagine. In more recent years, people have been looking at these hydrophobically modified polymers. It's a fairly.
You're talking about the acrylic polymers now?
Yeah, acrylic polymers are rosamond. In recent years, there's been a lot of work on hydrophobically modified. So, which is very similar to what we're going to do in the U.S. and hopefully we can check it out and I think it's been very disturbing. You know, Jim Davis,
yeah.
You know, he's got all the grass and trees and all that, but then they made it to find him. But in about the 50 or so, a lot of the qualities were that, well, we did a lot of work looking for possible values of this reaction is working at for Hercules. Sure, it was interesting for the rubber people, but it didn't make any bucks for Hercules.
I don't understand how you still found my drug. Was it the chimeric acid?
No, I made a rosin.
You mean it?
And methyl rosin, methylamine.
Oh, I see. So. It was a pending proof.
Yeah,
pending proof. Yeah. And a
So one of the things that we proposed was that maybe we could turn things up and have a little temperature.
But here's the
this
was before the bigger.
Yeah, it was. It was about 51 or 2. And we spent a fair amount of time, actually. Bob Lovey worked with him and the pressure line. We did a lot of work on pulmonary and everything, just below the pressure. It kept the pressure down there. Yeah, more than 2 pounds. And
that'd be decent.
Yeah.
The pressure would be pretty high, but it's pretty
below
the
critical point.
Below the critical point.
Blow. So was the other two problems. And we did develop some new oxygen. We put them where it was very low,
So this would be high pressure polyethylene you're talking about.
Well, it wasn't. It was low pressure.
Well, it's
too high
for
polyethylene
with
low pressure.
Yeah, but a higher pressure
than you think of it. Oh, yeah. The microwave was not high and close. So the yields were low and the reach were low, so it really wasn't much of a deal out of it.
So how low was the decay? But very low, huh? Well, it was brittle, heavy. You had that a pretty big DP, but it was actually brittle.
Well, it was sizable. I don't remember how I may have accomplished that. But I don't really remember. I think it was probably in the 10,000 or so. So not quite high enough.
And what was the DuPont high pressure polyethylene DP? 100,000?
Yeah, really. But you don't need that. If you have 50,000, you probably
How'd you know it was linear? At that time. You never thought about how it's been linear in the
Well, I think it was wrong, but I'm not sure.
But actually, what was your objective? Really?
The low pressure process for making polyethylene.
But to be competitive with the DuPont polyethylene, wasn't it? Wasn't that your objective? Your objective was really not to get just Zinger type polyethylene.
Were
the analytical methods good enough to know how many pendant groups there were?
Because it's the
properties of the product anyway.
Yeah, the rates were so low and it was pretty, really wasn't much. Most of the effort was trying to load the funds. We did write my notebook, the concept was really right on the surface. really.
It was not just in your cannabis. The product was more like you see.
No, I say we had written our notebook the catalytic system, which was full of fire, lightning, to the third attack. Garage was published in free radical range, based on polarized.
That was a mixture of the territory with the with an organic metallic.
Yeah, we have tried it, you know, although that's conceivable, just couldn't have left. Because we were looking, we were considering it as a theoretical source. But we didn't have the organic metallic and all these plants.
So now we're up to about 1950?
Well, no, we're in the 1954 area. Some of this work in the rosin.
And that was still oriented to rubber now?
No. That was scouting for
other polymerizations.
We were at that time, 1954, we were doing a lot of work on things that were for polymerizing.
Like with the ethers and so forth, the vinyl ethers?
Monomer with acrylic acid
you're still thinking in terms of paper chemicals then? You're still thinking in terms of paper chemicals?
That concept was to make. No, it wasn't. It was just one book I read on. Of course, back on the paper side, I was to do that, obviously. And it did look pretty good, really. But that brings us to the time of the license.
You resigned to the Zicker project right away?
Yeah, well, I just...
So you're the first one or one of the first ones?
Well, I suppose I could two or three weeks or so after the 15th and then in October 54.
Who else was on that program right there?
Well, Dave Brand. This might have been the first.
Good organic chemist. He probably never touched the palm of his own life, did he?
Well, I think he was an excellent Well, it was just the son of the team,
That was from Zicker's work, though, but
yeah.
Not from your work yet.
No.
So that was just a matter of following Zicker's instructions,
yeah.
As far as engineering people were concerned.
Yeah, and I said, the laboratory work is really a big problem. Again, following the procedures.
But but you were in the research end of it, Jim.
Yeah, my assignment was so much pre-managed.
For other kinds of polymers, or for still for ethylene and propylene.
For ethylene, of course, propylene.
No, it's already coming about 55, 56.
Well,
we had polypropylene in the plant by 59.
Yeah, well, I know. I think that one day in October, I guess it was, I used it as a parent and propylene. Also used hydrogen and ethylene for the same time.
Actually, you took this hydrogen right out of the cylinder?
Yeah.
And you didn't make an inciculus, kind of like syrup. You bubbled it in from the cylinder?
No. We've done a lot of our work with the pressure bottles that we use.
You just filled the bottle. You fill up the bottle up with hydrogen until it had to reach the right pressure.
I put a proper pressure in the bottle.
This is still before 55.
Yeah. And so the stats results came back
of the polyethylene.
So the small reduction in the stats as we increase the hydrogen. And those something minus several have been having effect, but
you saw an effect.
But I retained that in my kind of frozen place and went on later to do lower and
Did you inform Victor of this after you filed the patent?
I don't know. Hadn't
been up to Claysburg, huh?
I was up to the Hercules and managed to go over there to do it. I was going to do that.
You never got involved with Victor yourself then?
No, I never.
Did you ever get to know Nada as well?
I'm not sure if Saturday died, but I think it was 46.
It was in the 40s, I remember that.
Yeah.
I gathered a little bit Scotty either, but I did say it was Dennis who did it well. I don't recall that he did. I remember Harold took him over to come out and say,
you know, the great man.
Yeah, that's all it is. Well, you know, that's quite something to think of your own lifetime. You see, you know, Tommy and Mark and Marlon, you know, and, you know. First of time we're in both of them were getting over and then getting through and then we had to find out and I recognized it too.
Is that the first time I ever made it? Oh, yes, I think.
Probably. Well, it was a Hercules. I don't know about it in the world, I think. So I'd like to know who
you think I see. I'm out of tune with the media or her.
Well,
you have a different ratio of your women and so forth. And how did you change the canvas to make the kind of your
profile? Well, it was kind of an evolutionary process and running many experiments and different.
Was that the difference in the titanium, or the difference in women, or the difference in the outcome of all three?
Well, I might. We emphasize here, and I didn't get this point right before, but a lot of my success in this area has been able to run lots of experiments.
Simultaneously?
Simultaneously. And the pressure valve technique has done made that possible. And I think I did a lot more work than most people in the field.
You ran more experiments per hour than anybody else.
Yeah, right. I ran lots more experiments. A lot of help. Technicians and classifications. I've always given plenty of help because they've been a productive. But anyway, I found there was a certain way to put these other tasks together. And Zebra had used it kind of mixing the ingredients in situ. And we found it was kind of mix them outside, age them, and put them in the system. And then by looking at different compositions, I find my very one mouth kale from Goliath, and Monolith. And using these, I mean, the precipitates that you get, the added organic powder, we found you use Monolith and Indac Chloride. It's back in front of a woman. We got a fairly high yield, but that's back in front of a
woman. Did you have a problem with the Tickle 3 at all? That hand probably fell out. Is that one of your problems? That hand probably fell out.
Well, you know.
Has to protect the form of the titanium?
Yeah, it's the form of the titanium for a woman. I think it's a good one.
I think that was one of the drivers you worked on, with them at the Tickle 3.
Yeah, right.
Besides the ratio.
Actually, the Tickle, the thing that we made with that, the room that we were in, the thing that we were in, was finally shown by NADA to be built up as an unusual crystal structure with that form. And actually, this Tickle, I think that already was the basis of all commercial forces in the
mountain. Now, was the form of titanium determined while titanium was still in the metal stage or as the Tickle 3 stage?
Well, titanium's not
It was not a matter of treatment of the titanium before you made the paper three.
No, you start out with titanium tetrachloride.
Okay, so it's how you reduce the tetrachloride.
But you reduce that, yeah.
That's how you reduce that, determine the crystal structure of the titanium.
Right.
So the conditions of the reduction.
That's right.
Did you get involved with a lot of reaction rate studies of the of reactions like that? You didn't run any reaction studies about that. Nor did anyone else have heard of these. Working parallel to you, or is it a different area? That was in the literature too, though, wasn't it? Wasn't that in the literature already, Phil? Now, how about other people at Hercules involved in that? I know two got involved in the product president problem for a while.
Yeah, well, that came later. I've worked on product president about a year and a half before Hercules saw the light of day. So we did nothing on it for at least a year.
They were sold on polyethylene.
Yeah, they were pushing polyethylene.
And at Harlan, that was the first plant, the polyethylene plant.
That's right. We had a year before Johnson that started pushing the polyethylene plant to put the operating problem started to work out. Bill Schilling and Dean Perry.
In fact, Bill Schilling worked in the laboratory on the on that day.
Yeah, Bill Schilling, Dean Perry, and Matt Perry.
And that was separate from you completely.
Well, yeah, they knew what I was doing.
You always know what they were doing.
I wasn't working on the Atlantic on that thing.
Well, what other thing?
Well, I was doing the same use of the kind of thing that's been going on.
There were no. That was a new farmer, actually. That's the type of vinyl.
There were no. I'm sure Mike had been working these things. In fact, they were the first.
But they weren't isopactic,
were they? Well, they may not have been recognized yet at that time. They may have even been thought of as too much of it, but they were really but his problem was not highly anti-factory, so we were really making more anti-factory,
That's because of the kind of zipper deposit you were using.
Well, we weren't really using it. We started out with zipper, but we did develop a particular unusual combination that worked fairly well, but it really
Again, I better point out that this interview is taking place in New Orleans on September the 1st in a hotel room in the evening. It started around 8 o'clock and it's we probably won't finish before 10. Okay, why don't you continue for what you were saying?
Well, Bob Cairns was not involved in information transfer or he went out to Goodrich, Avonlea, to Ohio, and we being myself and a chemical engineer. And
who was the chemical engineer?
I can't think of his name right now. And also some of the people that worked on the applications areas, Dean Wants, Bob Amberg. And on some occasions, Goodrich came to Hercules and saw the pilot plant work and so on. And we helped Goodrich get into the business and told him everything we knew. And they finally got into the business, and then we kept working on the area, trying to improve the product. Well, Goodrich had pointed out a variety of deficiencies, and
naturally,
a lot of work was done on improving the stability, improving the process, and a whole variety of things. And we continued looking for applications. We did a lot of work looking in the elastic thread area. We had a cooperative arrangement with a company up in New England, and I think it was a man, elastic thread company. And we did a lot of work with them. Developed what looked like a pretty interesting elastic thread, and this was potentially a big market. And because I think of this work, Hercules got interested in producing this rubber, and ultimately the operating department took it over and developed their own process for information.
And be in competition with the people we licensed it to.
Ultimately, went into commercial production. And actually,
where did they make the rubber? Hercules, where Hercules make the rubber?
Hattiesburg.
Oh, Hattiesburg.
But
any reason for Hattiesburg? We just something else for Hattiesburg to go? Because they didn't. They had no raw materials there to speak of.
No, it's a plant that was available with all the accessories, steam and land and the water.
And Carlin and Gibson is probably overloaded with other things then, too.
Well, this was in the operating department that had anything.
Still naval stores.
Yeah, that was the department. Took over, we decided to commercialize this rubber. And of course, it was the problem that dealt with the rubber industry, for the most part. And so,
but Gibbstown was your big plan for the for most of that stuff, which is not naval stores.
Well, they didn't, at that point, didn't have a closed paper chemical department, really.
Oh, for Gibbstown at that time?
Gibbstown wasn't paper chemicals.
No, it was naval stores. It was for the peroxides and
phenol. But it was the paper chemicals department that handled the emulsifiers.
Yeah.
And peroxides for the rubber industry.
Oh, so actually it was the salespeople determining because of Hattiesburg.
Yeah.
Sales and marketing people.
Yeah, it was the department that...
Well, that's interesting. What affects what plant?
Well, I think at that point,
so as the customers really determined.
The raw acid operations were in the paper chemicals department.
Yeah, because Hattiesburg was not known for having a lot of real good chemists and chemical engineers.
Yeah, well, I think it was a mistake, but that's either here or there. But anyway, as an interesting sideline, I don't know if you know this or not, Herman, but. Recently, Hercules sold that business to Goodrich.
Yeah, I know.
So now Goodrich has the entire business, but actually during
Berkeley did a very good job developing the market for that auction, and they actually wound up, I think, in a better process and better product and a large part of the market.
Because they knew more about their customers than we did.
Yeah, I think they did a very good marketing job, and I found out later that Goodrich hadn't really put a lot of effort into the field. And of course, now they have a different philosophy, and it could work out. So the product will get a good shape.
Now, we're in the 60s. We're on the 60s now with your epoxy rubbers.
Yeah, right.
Or we're in the 70s. It'll be part of the 70s too now.
I continue to work in this area and do a lot of stuff. Related studies, derivatives, and
you play around with different kinds of monomers.
Well, I continue to scout for other areas of possible unique polymers.
Like what? How did you broaden your interests?
Well, one of the last sizable programs I initiated was to make some rigid J water soluble polymers, and this was in the probably started about 79. And,
this is different from Jerry Kine's kind of polymers.
Oh yeah, yeah. These were, in fact, they just gave it two papers on that at this meeting. Hercules released the information a year or so ago. Excited enough to pursue the area and or patent it.
What area is this? What are we talking about now?
Well, these are water-soluble polymers that were designed to be very
easy. Based on what monomers?
Well, based on one is this, like, sulfonated Kevlar, polyethylene terephthalate, and we made it by condensation type fermentation. Terephthalate and chloride with 1,4 benzene, with a sulfonic acid group on the ring.
You couldn't sulfonate Kevlar itself?
Well, that was in literature, but they hadn't tried to make water-soluble polymers like our goal was.
That you wanted more, sulfonates than the you can do by sulfonation of Kevlar.
Well, we tried, but
the solubility is against you in Kevlar.
It was difficult to control, and it's possible that one might do it in a little way, but once you knew what the result was.
That's better to get it by copolymerization or polymerization.
Copolymerization, co-condensation.
And so this is basically less than you did in Hercules.
Not really, but it was the last probably sizable program, because we had two or three PhDs working on it for a while, and we had a cooperative effort with the University of Lowell, who had a contract to work out part of it from the University of Lowell. Mm-hmm. So it was a fairly sizable program. And we did come up with some interesting products, but
not for Hercules.
But Hercules didn't feel they were good enough.
Of course, as a scientist, not always you have to end up with a commercial product. End up with new chemistry. That makes it worthwhile too, doesn't it?
I think it was a very interesting piece of work. Conceptually, it was and potentially still of interest for further study. And it's possible that Dr. Thelenholm and I might decide to pursue it. I'm not sure.
Would you spell his last name just to be sure?
S-A-L-A-M-O-N-E. One of the other things I did in the last 10 years was work on...
He's in textiles chemistry, though, isn't he? Not,
No, he's done a lot of work on it. His area is mostly water soluble polymers.
For what, though? For textiles? Textile treatment?
No. He's at the University of Lowell. He is really as bad as the Boston contact lens.
Oh.
Now that was not worked on at Lowell. Well, it may have been, but...
Or he's responsible for it, you're saying?
He set up a separate company and developed that lens.
That's a soft lens you're talking about.
No, it's
a hard lens.
Hard lens. And it's been a very successful...
Except it's being replaced with the soft lens now.
Well, I don't know. They're both being marketed. What the ultimate outcome will be, I'm not sure. But that company was finally sold to Bausch & Lomb.
That was quite a few years ago then, yeah.
No, 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
In the last 10 years of Hercules, I did a fair amount of work on water soluble polymers of some type or another.
Can you classify the type you work on?
Well, part of it was on the hydroxypolyethers. We did some fundamental work on glycerol polymerization. Discovered new rearrangement polymerization of glycerol, which actually was... I wrote that up after I retired.
Yeah, I remember that.
I came back for one summer after I retired and wrote that work up, all the work I had done on Hercules. And then I used that work as a basis for, with Hercules' permission, to write a proposal to get money from NASA and the Army.
And you did?
Which we did get money.
And that's where the...
And that's what I'm doing now at ASU. Working on these drugs and all the...
No, is Arizona State University the reason you moved to Arizona? Or I know you had talked about the beautiful area out there when you were much younger.
No, we've been going out to Arizona for how many years?
Before retirement.
Before retirement, we owned Vermont property out there, actually, and probably went out every year for 2 or 3 weeks.
You own land, or you own the house on the land, and the land?
Well, we owned a lot of things.
Oh.
We actually owned the trailer court, which was adjacent to Arizona State University.
Oh.
Which we operated in.
You were in the real estate business.
I had a fair amount of real estate. Which my daughter managed partly while she had moved out here. And my son had been here.
In Arizona.
He is now in Nevada.
Maybe you better get back to your marriage now.
Oh, okay.
Maybe know about your family.
Well, married in 50.
Now, who did you marry?
Mildred Elizabeth Wright.
W-R-I-G-H-T.
Right.
And that was in 1950, huh?
1950, yeah.
And was she a Delaware person? Delawarean?
Well, she was born in New Jersey as I was.
In
a different area of New Jersey, all right.
But how'd you meet her?
I think her family had moved to Delaware. I suppose late 30s, 40s area. And she worked for DuPont, and I had met her through...
She worked for DuPont as what?
As secretary.
No. She didn't go to college,
No, she went to business school to learn typing, I guess.
to be a good secretary.
Yeah, right. And I was, I guess I was living out in Belfast at the time, I guess, with one DeConner and a couple of Hercules fellas.
And a house. So.
And a house, right. Yeah. And the DeConner introduced me to her through a...
Oh, it's the first time you met her, too. First time you met her then in Delaware, not in New Jersey.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Well, it's in, I don't know if I met her in 49, probably.
Oh. It was fortuitous, and it, you roomed at the Stoop on her.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Okay, then you married in 50 and started having children. How many children do you have?
Oh, yeah, two.
And then what sexes? One boy, one girl.
One boy, one girl.
Boy first or girl
boy
first?
Boy first, yeah.
And what was his predilections in life? Was he a good student? Was he the kind of student you wanted out of a son or, and also your daughter?
Well, my son was a fair student. He wasn't, he didn't really apply himself till he got near the end of his college career and realized the importance of it.
And he majored what in college?
Well, it was a liberal arts college.
Where, Delaware?
No, Lynchburg College in Virginia.
Oh, yeah. What's the difference between their ages, your son and daughter?
Well, it's only a year.
Oh.
Two years.
Where did your daughter go to college?
Same college.
Yeah. So what'd she major in?
Well, she had a business orientation. Yeah.
And she's, is she not married and, but still working, or?
Yeah, she's not married, working.
Oh, she's not married.
Manages a bookstore and, in Sun City.
Oh. Mm-hmm. You see her correct every week then?
Yeah, we see her.
And your son's in Arizona too?
My son's in Nevada.
Well, that's pretty close at that. So.
Well, except I'm in 50 miles.
That's right, Nevada's a big city. That was Arizona. So it's talking north-south now, it's right.
Yeah, right. And, but we did see him 3 or 4 times a year. He has 2 children. Both divorced, unfortunately.
What do you mean both divorced? Your daughter's divorced?
Daughter's divorced, too.
Oh, that's normal today.
Yeah, I know, unfortunately. So that's my family. Anything else?
Well, now I'd like to get into the honors you received in your life. What was your first award? Was it one in Delaware? The Best Paper Award, I think, was your first award.
Well, I guess my first honor was becoming elected to Tau Beta Pi.
When was this? When you were in college?
In college, yeah.
Well, that's the honorary fraternity.
The honorary engineering fraternity, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the first chemistry award was the Delaware section.
Best paper award.
Best paper award. Right.
And that was what year, remember? And if there's from Delaware, I can go upstairs, run upstairs and find out real fast.
Well, if I had some of my stuff with me, I could tell you quickly, too. But I think it was about
That would be
65 or something like that.
And what you send me is attachments for your... with your bibliography and so forth. Be sure you put your awards down in the years.
Oh, well, I have a, bibliography.
See, then your next award was Palmer Division, I think. Wasn't it?
No, I got another, they changed the nature of the Delaware Section Award, I got that one.
And you gave the talk on your,
And then the next one, I guess, was the
Palmer Division.
Palmer Division Award, right.
And as you have an honorary doctorate too from Wizard.
Well, yeah, an honorary doctor from Stevens. And,
so you'll have that in the list too.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's, Of course, we also got the...
You're chairman of the section, too, in 1976.
Yeah.
So you had another office in the section, too, which is secretary or treasurer, I can't remember.
I never did secretary.
You were counselor.
I avoided that one.
You were counselor for at least six years, I remember.
Yeah, I think it was 6 years. Well, that'll all be in my...
And then you were chairman also of the Palmer Division.
Chairman of Palmer Division, a variety of posts in Palmer Division.
And how about Gordon Research?
I was chairman of Gordon Palmer Conference.
And who would you say throughout your scientific life had the most influence on you? Or was it just a series of a lot of good people that came along at the right time?
Well, I guess a whole host of people certainly helped me.
You just put Sperling near the top of this?
Certainly, Harold helped me a lot, no question about it. Dr. Pond, of course, originally, Sperling.
How about your colleagues, like a Boardman or Breslow or Kime or Bob Cairns? Do they have any effect on your outlook on science or help you in any way in discussions and so forth or in argumentations?
Well, you know, these things certainly have some influence, and no question about it.
But you were in a hell of a good environment, and that helped.
Sure.
I think that's basically the conclusion here, then.
Sure.
There were a lot of people that heard these affected you, and also your friends at DuPont, and also from Palmer Division.
The professional contact with fellow researchers from the National Society.
Hey, you were really not too active in the National Society except the division. As a counselor, what were you as a counselor?
Well, I was on the PAT committee. And actually...
Well, you don't have to be a counselor to be on that committee. But it's better to be a counselor.
It was through my offices of the Creative Invention Award.
That's an important factor.
I promoted that award. I don't think anybody recognized it, but I did.
That's a good award.
Yeah, I think it was a very important award.
Most awards go to the academic people, and that brings it back to the industry.
It has been an area sadly neglected. But it wasn't too hard to get it through, actually.
Your appointment in Arizona State came after you retired, not before you retired, huh? Or was it simultaneous?
Well, you had asked me before why I went there.
You pointed out your real estate, but you...
Well, really,
first,
I didn't pick ASU. I picked the area, and I wanted to continue working if I could in my profession. So I went to the chairman of the department before I retired, actually.
Oh. During the vacation period.
Yeah, just saw whether it was any interest in it. I was encouraged, I wasn't appointed adjunct professor until after I had retired. Mm-hmm. After I had, soon as I retired, I came out of here 3 months, and at that time, I worked out the final details and was appointed adjunct in July of that year, 83. But it was pretty contingent on my getting support.
All right, so you had to try and support me, that's how they worked.
Yes, I wasn't, had received no monetary support.
As an adjunct.
But
that's extensive to see monetary support, generally, yeah.
Well, that's what I found out recently, because I'm now called a visiting professor.
A permanent visiting professor.
Because I'm getting paid
or through the NSF.
But it's not the ASU money, it's the government money. But
yeah.
They don't look at it that way, but anyway.
Yeah, because the government, the universities get a cut out of the whatever grant you receive.
Well, they get all the money, you know, and they just pump it out.
Yeah, that's the way it's handled.
I'm paid as a regular employee of the state. If I hadn't gotten research funds, I wouldn't be there.
You'd be consulting. You would not be at the university, but you'd still be in Arizona.
Yeah, I'd still be in Arizona.
You still consulting? Or
I'm doing my other work. I do consulting. I have a patent litigation, and I'm presently consulting on it.
And quite a few of the retired chemists in Dover in these patent litigation suits. Does the one to consult, but that seems to be the most fertile field for these retired chemists these
days. Well, no question about it. If you get involved in patent litigation, usually quite, the lengthy consulting.
Oh, yeah, the lawyers like to extend those things.
Right.
That's where their money comes from, by extending them.
Worthwhile
activity. Spend 5% of your time in as a consultant or less?
Probably
a day or two a month at the most?
Yeah, probably less. Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is with my friends in Delaware too.
I haven't really worked very hard on getting consulting activity.
You're busy enough without that, huh?
Oh, yeah. I got plenty to do.
What do you do besides the university?
Do you do? Well, mostly look after my business interests.
Your real estate?
Real estate, stocks and bonds, things like that. Investing. That's probably the major part of my activity.
I can't think of anything else to ask you. I'd like to know is
we've traveled, of course, a lot around the world, most related to my professional activities.
You don't travel just for pleasure, then?
Not too much, because there's so much professional related travel that there really isn't a lot of other time for travel along with what I'm doing. We've been to Russia and invited. By the government
Government to lecture?
To lecture and visit the
government. You lectured in course in English, so.
Yeah, and we were to China on the same basis. That was after I retired. So. Yeah, that was after I retired that I went to China. As a guest of the Chinese government. Also, I hope I could pick up some postdocs for people. Wasn't successful.
You have to get the fan for that.
Well, I bet I did too.
Or Taiwan.
It was a question of monetary considerations that I didn't get anywhere. I did have a Japanese facility working with me.
That's a graduate student or a postdoc?
Oh, the postdoc. Oh. I'm a company. But I didn't feel I wanted to pay them.
What do you want it?
Huh? Well, I mean, it was a company sending them to me.
Oh.
And I thought the company should pay.
Oh.
Remember, which I gather is the usual way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They elected not to do that. So.
Did Howie Tennant ever have an influence on your work at Hercules?
Yeah, I suppose he did, sure. To a certain degree, but I don't really give him pretty much a free hand.
You tend to be more independent. You were probably more independent than most, I think.
I think I was, pretty independent. That's the kind of way I operated.
Yeah. Is there something else you can think of that you can add that'd be of interest to the Palmer history in terms of people you knew in Palmer chemistry and their effect on you or the effect on the area of Palmer chemistry?
Well, just one kind of interesting little sideline is that when it became obvious I was going to get a government grant for this work at ASU, the first person I contacted to get a postdoc was Carl Marvel.
Oh.
And called him up on the phone and he recommended to somebody he had interviewed a year or so before. And I contacted him. Well, I won't give you all the details, but he wasn't immediately available, but after a while became available, and after going through maybe two ads and CBS News and 30 candidates, we finally hired this fellow that Carl Malden had recommended. And he has been very excellent.
He was from Arizona. He was from the University of Arizona. Then.
American? No. He had just Marvel had just interviewed him
for
a job.
Oh.
And he had worked out to be very good, an excellent American.
Well, isn't Marvel at University of Arizona?
Yeah, but this my postdoc didn't go there.
Oh, I see.
He was just applying for a job as opposed to.
Yeah.
That's an odd interview.
Okay, we'll close the interview then.
Yeah, okay.